Going back to the page 10 on lecture 1, the aim of this part, what we're going to do now, is to develop statistical methods to estimate risk. So a typical thing you want to might want to estimate is the 99% value of risk. That is, if you're interested in the loss next week, that would then be the 99% quantile of the loss distribution for next week. And loss here, we'll typically talk about minus returns as a loss, as we discussed in the previous sound clip. And so it's a very quick repetition of what I said in the last sound clip yesterday is about extreme value statistics. It's a branch of statistics developed to handle extreme risks. And the philosophy is that if you want to understand or predict extreme events, very often or typically only other extreme events help you. Sort of the normal behavior of things are just different than what happens when things are extreme. And in particular, financial markets are quite different when there is an uproar on the market than in sort of normal quiet times. So moving to page 11, the basic extreme value statistics methods are the block maximum method and the peaks over threshold methods. And block maxima, then you model maxima and you use a generalized extreme value distribution for maxima. You'll soon see what the formulas for that distribution. And peaks over thresholds and the generalized Pareto distribution will come later on in the slides. Why do you want to use these distributions? Well, the reasons are completely the same as for using the normal distribution for everyday normal statistical work. And that is, if you just change sums to maxima or sums to high values, then you have the same properties of the generalized extreme value distribution, the GEV distribution, as for the normal distribution. So if you take maxima of many variables which are generalized extreme value distributed, then the result has the same distribution but with different parameters. And the same as for the central limit theory. If you take maxima of many of the independent variables, they don't need to be individually generalized extreme value distributed. Then when asymptotically, when you take maxima of very many variables, the result is very often generalized extreme value distributed. And of course, as usual, remember, don't believe in models blindly. Page 12 tries to illustrate the two different methods. And what the plot shows on page 12 is the negative returns for Apple, or I call it the Apple losses. So, and this is measured in percent. So you take minus 100 times the price tomorrow minus the price today divided by the price today. And that's 1 year back. And as I said before, returns are really the interesting thing to model. That's what you need to know if you're going to make financial decisions. And you can see on the plot, we have four quarters, quarter one, quarter two, quarter three. And in the block maxima method, you're interested in how large is the risk of a big quarterly loss. And then you can see what are the quarterly losses. Well, they are the things which are in blue circles. So you can see there's one blue circle in the first quarter, one blue circle in the second quarter, one blue circle in the third quarter, and one blue circle in the fourth quarter. And these blue circles are the maximum values during each quarter. And in the block maxima model, the block maxima method. This is what you try to model. This is what you try to predict. Okay, there's also red squares. And the red squares is what you look at when you want to do the peaks or threshold models with the generalized Pareto distribution, which we'll talk about a bit later. So you can see in quarter four, the red square and the blue circle are just the same. In quarter one, there are many red squares, but of course just one blue circle, because there's only one maximum for each quarter. But there could be many, many exceedances of many excesses of a level. So the red line is a level. So we look at the excesses of the level two. Then if you look at, again, at quarter two, there's also many excesses, but just one block maxima. And finally, in quarter three, there's no value which is bigger than two. But of course, there's still a block maximum, which is inside of the blue circle. So what we're looking at now are the blue circles. What we'll look at later are the red squares. But this is an important plot. You need to understand it. And if you don't understand it right now, you should go back when you've gone through sort of the details of the block maxima method and the peaks over threshold method. So on page 13, you can see the generalized extreme value distributions, the GEV distributions, and they just have a fairly simple functional form. If you look on top of the plot, you can see the distribution function G of X of a generalized extreme value distribution. As you remember, G of X is the probability that the value is less than or equal to X. And it has a formula e to minus some exponent. And what you should look at there, x is the value, so that could be maybe 3. What is the probability, or maybe what we talked about before is 5%. So x could maybe be 5. And or you might be interested in some higher value, x equals 10. You have the entire distribution here as x varies. But as in statistics, you have here a parametric model but the parametric model contains some parameters. There is a mu on top of the fraction, so it's x minus mu. Mu is a scale parameter. If you increase it, the distribution moves to the left. If you look at the plots below, if mu increases, the plots move to the right. If mu decreases, then the plots move to the left. Sigma on the bottom of the fraction is a scale function, scale parameter, and that determines the spread of the distribution. If sigma increases, then the plots become more flat. If sigma decreases, the plots become more peaked, more narrowed. And then the gamma, you have a gamma in the exponent, and there's a gamma before the fraction. So it's the parenthesis is raised to the power 1 over gamma. And the distribution looks different and works differently for different values of gamma. And in particular, it's important whether gamma equals, it is positive, 0, or negative. If gamma is negative, then you get something called the Weibull distribution. It really doesn't ever occur in sort of financial modeling, so we won't talk much more about it. If you look at the sort of pinkish dotted lines, that's a density function of a Fréchet distribution. That is a distribution where gamma is positive. And the red dash dot lines, that's the Gumbel distribution. It's the special case where gamma equals 0. and the formula you see in top doesn't quite make sense for gamma equals zero, but I'll talk about that more later on. So what we see here is not the distribution function on top, but the density function below. And the density function, of course, as you hopefully remember from the basic statistics course, it's a derivative of the distribution function. And you see the formula, and you again see the parameters mu, the scale parameter, mu, the location parameter, sigma, the scale parameter, and gamma, the shape parameter. And if you look back to the plot, what you can see is that the Fréchet distribution is the one which has the heaviest tails. It means that it has the most, that it's sort of on top when you go out to the right. It has the most mass for higher values. The Gumbel distribution has a bit less, actually quite a lot less mass to the right. So it doesn't model very large values, and the Weibull has a finite upper endpoint. You can't really see that, but that's not so important. So the most important distribution for us is the Fréchet distribution, the distribution with gamma greater than zero. And if you look at the formulas, the parentheses have a plus downstairs. And this plus means that if whatever you have in the parentheses is negative, then you just replace the entire expression by zero, because otherwise it won't make sense, and it won't be the right distribution. But this means that when whatever is in the parentheses is negative, then the distribution function is zero, which means if you look at the formula for the Fréchet distribution, it means that the parenthesis is zero, and the exponential is zero if you get an x value which is less than mu plus sigma over gamma. So this distribution, the Fréchet distribution, has a finite left endpoint, mu plus sigma over gamma. And one says it's heavy tail because it has a lot of mass out to the right. And we're used to distribution which has moments of all kinds, means and variances, and maybe higher order moments. But the Fréchet distributions don't have all moments of all orders. And in particular, if gamma is greater than or equal to a half, even the variance doesn't exist. If gamma is greater than one, the mean doesn't exist either. The bigger the gamma, the fewer moments exist. The Gumbel distribution is the case gamma equals zero, and that's what you get by taking limits as gamma tends to zero in the distribution function, and then the corresponding density function. So the distribution function of the Gumbel distribution is what you see sort of at the end of the line with the gamma equals zero. It has the form, so the distribution function is e to the minus x minus mu divided by sigma. That is the limit of what you have on top if you let gamma tend to zero, if you know the limit for the result for the exponential function. And you can see there's two exponentials, there's e to the minus e, so this distribution is also often called the double exponential distribution. It's unbounded and can take infinitely small values and infinitely small large values, and also the density is given by the formula there. It's just by, you get it at once by differentiating the capital G of X. And finally, the Weibull distributions has a finite right endpoint, which is mu plus sigma over gamma. So now we're going to talk about the Bloch maxima model. And this is described in detail in the books by Stuart Coles, page 45 to 53. You can find the book on Canva, so you can just download it from Canvas, from the messages in Canvas, and you should do that. It's a very, very useful book. We'll use it a lot. And when you've seen these slides and heard what I say, or maybe before, you should read page 45 to 53 in the Coles book. And we'll do quite a lot of reading in the Coles book, and you'll learn things not just about extremes, but also about statistics in general, which is very useful. So the block maxima methods goes as follows. You obtain observations x1, x2, up to xn of block maxima. That is, say, weekly or yearly maxima. In the plot I showed you before, it was a monthly maxima of the negative apple returns. So the first value was maybe, I forget what it was, maybe 2.5. It was the biggest apple loss during quarter four in the plot. The next value was around the same, maybe 2.6 was the value of the block maxima in quarter one, and so on. So the observations there were the things in the blue circles. So these are your observations. You have n of these, and typically n needs to be at least, you need to have at least maybe 20 observations to make any sensible statistical inference to be able to use the data. And of course, the more observations you have, the better estimate will become. Then what you do in the block maxima method is that you assume the observations are IID and have a generalized extreme value distribution. You use the observations, they are numbers, they were maybe 2.5, 2.6, 2.1, 1.9 in the graph you saw before. And you have these observations, these numbers, and you use them to estimate the parameters of the generalized extreme value distribution. The location parameter mu, the scale parameter sigma, and the shape parameter gamma. And then you have, once you've done that, then you have the estimated fitted generalized extreme value distribution. You have an estimated distribution of the losses or of the thing you want to model, use for risk modeling. And then you can compute estimates. Say if you're interested in value at risk, you just compute the 99% quantile of say the yearly maximum distribution, the distribution of yearly maxima, if that's in what you're interested in. So once you have estimated the parameters, you have an estimate of the distribution, and then you can use this estimate to get, say, the value at risk, say the value which is such that there's a 99% probability that the loss isn't bigger than this. And of course, these are estimates from data, which means they are by no means perfect, and you need to somehow judge the uncertainty of the estimates, the uncertainty, say, of the value at risk, the quantiles of the yearly maxima. And again, statistics give you methods to compute confidence intervals, which is a way of quantifying uncertainties of estimates. There are many estimation methods. Maximum likelihood model, maximum likelihood estimation, moment estimations, probability-weighted moment estimations, bias-corrected probability-weighting moments estimates, and so on. In this course, we'll use maximum likelihood. And the reason is that it has a major advantage that it gives standard as way for including trends in parameters and for testing of submodels and for handling truncation and censoring. Truncation is when you maybe don't observe the small values. You don't have measurement of the small values. And censoring is when, for some reason, some values are missing. And this can be handled sort of in a standardized way by maximum likelihood. It cannot be done so by the other methods. And we'll talk about different ways of getting confidence intervals. And in words which you don't know by now, probably, often profile likelihood confidence intervals or bootstrap confidence intervals are often better than the standard confidence intervals one gets for maximum likelihood. So, I'll just do a new sound clip now. See you in a little while.